Hi, this is Ned Ryan, President of American Majority. Last week I talked about who votes and how many votes it will take for someone to win office. The number is actually much lower than most think. I concluded last week by talking about winning the middle votes, and that is where we'll pick up today's podcast. At the presidential level, there is a huge emphasis on winning the so-called middle. Simplifying the issue a bit, it can be said that for Bill Clinton, the idea was to take his party faithful along with the soccer moms. For George W. Bush, the plan was to use compassionate conservatism, along with the backlash from Clinton's moral failures, to lure independents and a few Democrats to vote for him. It also explains why voter registration and turnout are so important. How, you might ask, does one determine the number of Democrats or Republicans, given that many states do not require or track party registration? You should, of course, contact the parties and see what they say. But a time-tested way of doing it, and one that you can and should do yourself, is to look at the history of the elections in your area. Not the congressional race, as it is too high profile and often based on personality of a particular candidate. Instead, look at the statewide races for offices that most people don't really focus on. For example, consider the state auditor or secretary of state races. In these races, voters tend to vote their party over the particular candidate. This is because the issues in these races are so mundane that most voters do not take the time to study them. Considering these races over the years, especially looking at the percentage of the losing candidate, will give you some idea of how many people will always tend to vote Democrat or Republican. Don't look at just one year, as the race for president or governor can skew the numbers if you have a particularly strong candidate in one of those positions. Also, look for trends. At the federal level, despite redistricting, congressional districts do not always stay the same. You can occasionally spot a trend in a certain county as it is beginning to shift party dominance. You might be tempted at this point to ask, if the independents or middle vote are so important, or winning a few members of the opposite party is the goal, why doesn't a candidate just concentrate exclusively on those issues? Well, there are a number of answers to this, which I'll discuss in a later section on strategy. But at this point, there is one decisive answer. If you utilize such a strategy, you will not survive the primary election. For the people you are trying to reach in such a general election strategy do not generally vote in the primary. And when they do, they might well be voting in the opposing party's primary. So how many voters do you have to persuade to vote for you in the primary election in order to win? Here the variables become much more numerous, the principal issues being the number of candidates who have entered the primary and the ideological makeup of those candidates. It is not simply getting more votes than the next guy, it is getting more votes than the next guys, all of which are of the same political party. The vote in the primary is significantly different than in the general election. The voters are of an entirely different makeup. Primary elections tend to sneak up on the public. Turnout is usually very low. Most people who vote in the primary are the true party loyalists. Many times, off-year congressional primaries will run around the high teens to low 20s percent turnout among registered voters, which is significantly lower than the general election turnout numbers. Local level races can have even lower turnout. Now, those numbers are not set in stone, but what you need to realize is that off-year election primaries have very low turnout. Now, you can perhaps begin to see why it is that the candidate with the greatest party connections often wins the primary. This is why successful candidates for Congress often begin as the precinct committee chairman, moving up to county chairman, then go to the state house, and so on and so on. By doing so, a candidate has a built-in edge when it comes time to compete in a primary. If you have done this, great. If you haven't, this too can be overcome. It is the party faithful who turn out in primary elections. But it is more than that. The party faithful often are the people who care most about the issues. So while a particular candidate can motivate a large number of votes because of service to the party, the same candidate had better be able to talk about the issues that matter to that party. And here's where the chink in the armor lies. Many folks who are good at helping fry chicken at the party picnic or passing out flyers in a neighborhood are very interested in having people like them. And people who want people to like them are often not very good at discussing tough issues. Such people often fold up if the political race pushes them into the issues farther than they are comfortable in going. I'll flesh out this reality later as we talk about campaign strategy. So in considering the question, how many people do you need to persuade to vote for you in order to win the primary, the answer is that you must convince a plurality of the party faithful. If you have not been active in party politics, you'll have to do this on the issues, but watch out. How you run your primary campaign can come back to haunt you in the general election. The harder you run to win the primary, the more ammunition you give to your opponent in the general election. A case in point is the presidential primaries for the out-of-power party. Many times, realizing that it is the party faithful who vote, candidates will run to the left or run to the right to convince party loyalists that they are the ones who deserve to be the candidate. Of course, in trying to please party loyalists, many times stances are taken which are out of line with the important middle voters. The trick in primaries is trying to convince party loyalists that you are their man or woman, but at the same time not alienating the middle vote. Isn't politics fun? To summarize, winning does not take nearly as many votes as people often think it does. This is because only a small fraction of people are actually going to decide the election, given that most people tend to vote along party lines. An interesting aspect of this reality is that you can have a fair number of people mad at you at any given time, and you'll still stand a good chance of winning the election. So when the going gets tough, and the whole world seems to be upset with what you're doing, remember that if only about 25% of the registered voters are with you, you can still win. In next week's podcast, I want to talk about the responsibility of the candidate to know as many facts and statistics about who he or she is running against.